Curriculum Associates presents the Extraordinary Educators Podcast with hosts Danielle Sullivan and Sari Liberis. Hear tips, best practices, and successes to improve your teaching and leadership and drive student growth and learning. We're here for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Extraordinary Educator Podcast. This is Danielle.
Hey, everyone. It's Sari. And this week, we are so excited. We are joined by one of our colleagues who does professional development at Curriculum Associates, Dee Dee Leone. And before joining Curriculum Associates, Dee Dee was a teacher for 31 years in New Jersey and a math coach for 20 of those years. During that time, she developed content for numerous curriculum companies, and she's also created three exclusive math manipulatives that she's licensed. And so she's very passionate about all things math manipulatives. Definitely, again, a passion area for her, and you can definitely hear that come across as we speak with her.
Yes, and she's giving some good strategies for all y'all who may not be as comfortable using math manipulatives. So it's really exciting to hear Dee Dee's passion, like Sari said, and I'm excited for you to hear what she has to share.
Here is our conversation with Dee Dee. Welcome, Dee Dee. We are so excited to talk to you today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here. So to start, can you talk a little bit about what is the science behind learning math?
Absolutely. I follow Joe Bowler, and those of you that aren't familiar with Professor Bowler, she's out of Stanford. She is a professor of mathematics education, and she published an article a while back entitled Seeing as Understanding, the Importance of Visual Mathematics for Our Brain and Learning. And along with her, as I said, colleagues, the neuroscientists, the article recognizes the importance of visuals, manipulatives, and motion to enhance students' understanding of mathematical concepts. So it also, as we know, points out that the National Council of the Teaching of Mathematics, NCTM, has long advocated for the use of multiple representations when students are learning mathematics. But unfortunately, the problem is for millions of students throughout the United States, mathematics is simply presented as almost entirely numeric and symbolic subject, right? So we know now, this is what's exciting. There's stunning new evidence from science of the brain about the importance and the necessity of visual thinking. So recently, here's what scientists found out. They've developed a more nuanced understanding of how the brain is working and the ways that we study and learn mathematics. So think of it as our brains being made up of like distributive networks. And when we handle knowledge, different areas of our brain will be lighting up and communicating, talking to one another. So when we're working specifically with mathematics, brain activity is going to be distributed between many different networks, and two of the most powerful ones are visual pathways. Visual, not symbolic, not abstract, visual. In fact, they've done some neuroimaging, and they've seen how the brain will light up even with something like 12 times 25, just symbolically, boom, 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 lighting up the brain through the visual processing end of it. So here's another example, the number line, very powerful visual tool. And again, the visual pathway our students can light up in their brains when they consider the spatial relationships of quantity on a number line. So let me ask you something, either one of you. Do you remember how you learned your math facts when you were younger?
Fear.
So there's an emotion, right? So
you remember anxiety and a timer and yes, a fast fact sheet. That is,
I didn't learn them very well. All right. I do not know my math facts still. It's a lot of anxiety ridden for me as well.
Yeah, and research shows that when we're timing and we provide or we ask students to do it within a time restraint, that anxiety does produce kind of a counter effect. So I personally remember learning it. All right. So you remember the emotion. Isn't that something? You remember the anxiety. I remember the actual sitting down, kitchen table with the flashcards, right? Mom holding it up, 8 plus 5. It was a struggle. I have to be honest. It was a struggle. But why does 8 plus 5 have the quantity of 13? You know, that's the question. Why and how does it make 13? So let's shift now into when teachers approach learning visually, how it will light up the brain and connect those spatial reasoning and representations, those pathways, those networks. Great, great model. Have either of you worked with something called the 10 frame in the past? The 10 frame?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you remember about the 10 frame?
Not a lot. As a student, there's like these rods and little little ones. I don't remember a lot as a student, but I know that as a teacher, I found it really helpful to use it with students.
Okay, yeah, those were the base 10 blocks, right? And we know that a flat was 100 and a rod would be a 10 and the units would be ones, right? So that was definitely one model that we could use. Another one is an array, a 2x5 array called a 10 frame. Think of it kind of like a double-decker bus, right? You have 5 seats on the top, 5 seats on the bottom, and you fill up those spaces. So go back to that 8 plus 5. If we ask our students to fill the first 10 frame with 8 counters, what is going to happen automatically visually? They develop a connection. They can see automatically that 8 fills up a 10 frame with 2 empty seats or 2 empty frames. So suddenly they have this powerful idea that 8 plus 2 equals 10. So now let's go one step further. So what if it's a double 10 frame? What if they put 8 on one frame, 5 on the other? Wait a minute. If I move these two over, if I decompose, if I break up that 5 into a 2 and a 3, I can make a 10. So now 8 plus 5 becomes 10 plus 3. And adding 10 to a number has been something that they've been exposed to. So the versatility of the double 10 frame is not isolated to 8 plus 5. So now let's take that idea, that strategy, we can apply it to 9 plus 6, 7 plus 4. So we're not asking students to memorize 8 plus 5. We're helping students to develop a strategy that can be used for all math facts as well.
I think too, like one of the most powerful things that you didn't mention when you were describing the use of 10 frames is carry the one, right? Like when I was taught math, it was just put the one digit here, carry the one. But like I had absolutely no idea what that little one meant, or I couldn't visualize it. I never could manipulate it, like you said. And so like having them actually touch things and move things around and see, oh, I see the 2x5 is filled with my little red dots. And now like it just builds such a more powerful conceptual understanding that they'll then carry, you know, to other grades that could help them with more advanced content. So really appreciate you kind of diving in there. And we'll link the resources that Dee Dee mentions, the studies, the manipulatives in the show notes if you're interested. So how much of an impact can manipulatives have on learning math for students? You sort of already touched upon this when you were describing the 10 frames, but just generally speaking.
Yeah. So we know from research and studies, like one published in the Journal for Research in Mathematics Education, where they compared 1,600 fourth and fifth grade students studying our favorite fractions, right? And using both manipulative-based curricula and non-manipulative-based curricula. So what they found out with these 1,600 students, those that used manipulative-based curricula, those, all right, let me, what they found out is that students in manipulative-based curricula had a higher mean score at the end of the unit. But here's what's even more important. Not only at the end of the unit, retention score. They were in it for the long run. So many times when teachers go to tricks or other non-conceptual ways of doing or completing a task, they'll show them some shortcut. But really, that is not long lasting. Those tricks expire, right? You can't transfer that knowledge. when we're using manipulatives, they're going to retain that understanding. Another, so that was fourth and fifth grade. Here's another interesting study. And I love this one because it's middle level, because that's one area that we often see no manipulatives. There was one study done by Harold Witglinski comparing over 7,000 eighth grade students and the impact of hands-on learning, manipulatives in instruction. So first of all, he found that only one of every four teachers had some type of manipulative somewhere in the instruction.
So I want to jump in right there. Speaking about that, why do you think that is? Why do you think teachers aren't using manipulatives more often in the classroom? If the research is there, if it's so helpful for students, like, what do you think the barrier is?
I definitely feel it's professional development. There's a stigma that's related, or an idea that that only belongs in the elementary school or the primary areas, that that type of language, the concrete kinesthetic tactile, is something reserved there. And by now in middle level, they're beyond that. They've moved past that. So but there's so many, there's algebra tiles, there's hanging diagrams. There's so many different models that middle level teachers can use. So what they found is those teachers that were trained, that had the professional development and incorporated on a weekly basis, where the manipulatives were available instantly, always available, accessible to students. Listen to this staggering number. These students proved to be 72% of a grade level ahead. Just mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because it's so it's simple, right? You just ask your students to take them out, you know, like acknowledge students using them, praise them, encourage them, model it. It's just such an you have them available. It's such an easy tactic to then implement in your classroom. So speaking of our listeners and our teachers who are with their students, what are to kind of close out the episode here, kind of three key features of successful manipulative lessons, so they can take these back and use them in their math classrooms?
Well, oftentimes teachers are like, oh, it takes so much time to pull them out and put them back. I get it. I was a teacher for over 31 years. Preparation, organization, anticipation. We want to make sure that they are available to the students, individual student kits, or having them at centers where students do not have to get up and get them. That's key. Number two, go ahead.
I want you to say those three words one more time. I loved that. Say the three words one more time.
Preparation, organization, anticipation. All right.
And say what those mean again. Let's break those down, because that was great. Yeah. So just exact, like, preparation, having them.
Yeah, we need to prepare. We need to make those kits. Your fall, your winter teacher self will thank your summer self when you are preparing that. And you know what? If you're listening to this and you're halfway through the year, you know what? It's all good. Just take some time, put those kits together, and have them accessible, right? So we want to also have a routine with our students. They understand this is what it looks like when we pull them out. Give them time to explore. Intuitively, they want to explore self-discovery. They can start developing self-discovery and seeing spatial relationships, right? So we want to give them time. But then we also want to say, okay, cueing, ready? Let's go. Ready position. Ready position means hands on your heads. These manipulatives are out. So we want to help them be successful and self-regulate. And then finally, I said preparation, anticipation. We need to anticipate the math we're going to be teaching. That means teachers, please open up your curriculum, look at the teacher's guide. Most programs literally have lessons where they suggest or embed manipulatives. So often I see teachers that will see, oh, we're going to do regrouping, subtraction, borrowing. I'm going to do it like this. And they wing it. And they avoid bringing out the manipulatives. And what they're doing is they are robbing their students on that conceptual understanding, making those visual connections, using those space time blocks. And really in second grade, the traditional algorithm isn't even a standard. All right, we're rushing to get to where they're going to be later in the years. But if we do our due diligence at the early grades, or when we are approaching a new idea conceptually, they will develop those visual pathways to really understand mathematics.
Well, Dee Dee, this was so valuable. Thank you for all the research. You're clearly passionate about it. It is so important, especially for, I love how you said middle school teachers, because hey, y'all out there, you middle school educators, this is just as critical. And I love those three words again. One more time, Dee Dee, the three words.
Organization, preparation, anticipation.
Yes.
There you have it, everybody.
And pro tip, middle school teachers, really fast, Danielle, kids love helping you prep them. So if you haven't prepped them or put them in their desk, they can put them in little baggies for you. They can count them out. And that also just gives them another time to kind of play and explore as well. So highly recommend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today, but we appreciate you. Thank you so much. And again, please use manipulatives for mathematics.
Thanks, Dee Dee.
My pleasure.
Get inspired by following us on social media, and please tag us in your posts on Twitter at CurriculumSoc and on Instagram at MyEyeReady. If you have feedback about the podcast, a topic of interest, or want to be a guest, email extraordinaryeducators@cainc.com. Subscribe where you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to help more educators like you join the conversation, please leave a review.
And remember, be you, be true, be extraordinary. The Extraordinary Educators Podcast is produced by Curriculum Associates, social media by Atsney Hannon, guest booking by Sari Liberis, production by Haley Browning. This podcast is copyright material and intellectual property of Curriculum Associates.